Good morning, world. This is Anthony Vaughn back again with another episode of the E1B2 Collective Podcast. And we are bringing you episode 2 of the People Strategy segment. And we're going to be covering key HR metrics to look out for and to think about strategically in 2024. And I'm super blessed to be able to bring you another episode here. Been very busy traveling across the country, doing a lot of big things, and trying to find ways to inevitably bring value to the world of work, the world of HR, the world of people strategy, and just frankly trying to improve my own skill set, my own perspectives, and my own learnings. But moving forward, I'm excited to get into today's episode because I think we all can agree that HR metrics, we have to have them. I was just talking to a colleague the other day that a lot of HR people, in my personal opinion, are not thinking strategically enough about the metrics that they have to follow in order to make sure that some of the strategies, some of the best practices are actually being implemented and also understanding if they're actually working. And a lot of organizations, again, are spending a lot of time throwing a bunch of things at the wall and wondering why they're not sticking, wondering why individuals are leaving their business, wondering why performance is down, wondering why engagement is not where it needs to be, wondering why the overall vibe and sentiment of the culture, of the team, of the dynamic is not where it needs to be. And it's because I don't think enough of the work that is being put in, the best practices, the programs, the strategies, I don't think enough of that is being tracked, being measured, and being understood. And so hopefully I can help you out with that today. So let's jump right into it. The very first thing that I think should be tracked, should be understood, is employee sentiment. And there's a lot of different ways to understand that. And the reason why I go directly towards employee sentiment first, that's a lie. I don't actually have employee sentiment first. It's the first thing that I had in the bullet points of what I wrote down. But the reason why I do believe that employee sentiment is incredibly important is because understanding what's happening in the minds, in the hearts, in the overall vibes and emotions of your people is something that you should keep an eye on. Because if someone's disgruntled, if someone's confused, if someone's not feeling comfortable, if someone's not feeling engaged, whether that's a relationship with their manager, whether that's a relationship with their coworker, whether that's a relationship with their own personal workflows, their own personal tasks, their own personal efforts, that's obviously going to make an impact on the inevitable outcomes and productivity that they inevitably will have within their team, in their own individual contributor work, or if they're in a leadership position, it could have a trickle-down effect for everything with everything that they support and everyone they do support. And so I think a lot of organizations are not doing a good enough job of asking the question of how are you personally doing and how are you feeling in certain set categories? Again, how are you feeling about me as your leader? How are you feeling about the relationship with your coworkers? Do you feel like you're being heard? Do you feel like you're being respected? Do you feel like the workflows and the structures that you have are conducive and built towards your strengths? Do you feel like we're recognizing your weaknesses enough and allowing there to be a bit more flexibility in the work, a bit more autonomy in the work? And I think a lot of organizations are rolling out employee engagement surveys. They're investing in employee net promoter scores and things of that nature. But I actually like to go towards the most traditional and old school and tried and true approach, which is two phases. Number one, build the emotional glue with your employees to be able to have an honest one-on-one conversation. I had a call with my colleague literally just an hour ago. And we were having a conversation and he said the following words: we're brothers, we're friends, we trust each other, we understand each other because we've been vulnerable with each other. We've been honest with each other. He said, this is the first time he's ever been in a part of a culture and a dynamic where that politically correct red tape, that corporate structure has been taken down. And I've had the opportunity to be honest and be raw and be vulnerable with someone that I just met or that I work with. And that's allowed me to be able to work on deals and work on structures and work on the day-to-day work with you in a way and at a level and at a speed that is quick, that is productive, that has depth, that has nuance, and it's allowed me to trust you more. And so that is what I think is the very first thing that you have to keep in mind when you're trying to conduct these one-on-one conversations to understand the employee sentiment is building that emotional glue, building that relationship, building that vulnerability. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. The number one way I think a leader should do it is admit when you're wrong, understand when you're wrong, raise your hand and say, I was wrong. Share things that you're not sure of. Be honest about those things. Share things that you're a bit uncomfortable about. Share things that you're not too sure of. Share things that are just, again, a bit more vulnerable and a bit more just out of pocket for you. And it probably will shock your employees at first, and they may say to themselves, wow, I've never known my leader to be so honest and be so candid and be so raw. But once you do that, they will then inevitably realize that it's okay to admit their mistakes. It's okay to say they don't know how to get something done. A few steps prior to that mistake actually being detrimental to the team, detrimental to the product rollout, being detrimental to a sales process, whatever the inevitable team or the organization is trying to accomplish. And so I'll wrap up employee sentiment this way. The only way you can get to employee sentiment, the only way you can actually know about the about your employees and how they're feeling is by having that level of vulnerability, by having that level of emotional glue, by having that level of trust, that candor, that honesty. And that can go a far way when trying to create sustainability, growth, productivity, and inevitable impact from a relationship perspective, but also from a bottom line and work efficiency perspective. I think another thing that a lot of organizations are not tracking and measuring is, let me get to the measuring part. I just completely skipped over that. Measure those one-on-ones. Have those one-on-ones documented. Have those one-on-ones recorded. Have the data that is extracted from those one-on-ones documented, recorded, and understood. And trend that information out. So if you're a leader, trend that information out and actually understand the differences and the nuances and the progression or the digression of what's been being said in those one-on-ones. Track, if you're an employee, I'm just going to call it out. If you're an employee, track and understand if the one-on-ones that you're having are actually making an impact on how you're feeling, and voice that potential and inevitable change to your leader, so your leader can understand if there's actually being an impact on the one-on-ones, on the relationship. So again, I just think there's many simple ways of being able to track and understand and document the amount of one-on-ones you're having and if those one-on-ones are actually being productive. But at the end of the day, you have to do that. And again, I think too many organizations are not tracking, not documenting, not understanding, not staying consistent with those one-on-ones. And that's something you have to do from a measuring perspective. I think another thing you have to do from a measuring perspective is, in order to create a productive culture, in order to create a sustainable organization, in order to just make the most out of having your people, is actually tracking and understanding and benchmarking if your HR team and the processes and the best practices that you have in place, if you're playing at a high level. And I think that's something that a lot of HR teams are not doing. A lot of HR teams are not analyzing and understanding are we at the top of the industry with our benefits? Are we at the top of the industry with some of our leadership best practices? How we're approaching DE&I? How we're approaching career mapping and leadership development conversations, how we're approaching our L&D, how we're approaching change management processes, how we're approaching the overall structure and organization and the model of our current HR team right now, how we're approaching policy, how we're approaching humanistic, variations and approaches to policy, right? I think there's a lot of organizations out here that will give you the support that you need to be able to measure, understand, unpack, analyze if your HR team is playing at a high level. Because if your HR team is playing at a high level and that's congruent and consistent with the standards of some of the biggest and the best companies in the world, then that's going to give you two different data points. That's going to give you a data point that there's a good chance and a high chance that the culture that you have inside of your organization is going to be one that will be respected. And that's also going to give you a data point that the organization that you have, from a bottom line perspective, from a revenue perspective, from a productivity perspective, is going to inevitably get to the heights of those other organizations that you may be benchmarking yourself against. And I think more HR team members should be appreciative and excited about that reflection. And I don't think enough of them are. right? You should want to reflect on everything that's happening in every single category of talent acquisition strategies and employer branding strategies and recruitment strategies and change management strategies and employee engagement strategies and leadership development strategies and leadership, frameworks around and rubrics around who should be a leader and how those leaders are promoted and what skill sets and what soft skills and what hard skills those leaders need to have and why they need to have them and employee feedback, right? Like, you should have an understanding if the programs and the tactics and the best practices that you have in place, are they at a high level? Are you playing at the highest level? You should know that. You need to know that. It's very similar to an athlete. Right? The biggest, the best athletes in the world have front offices that are analyzing if this individual's points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, where does that rank in the overall NBA's average? And do we need to make a change? Do we need to implement new trainings? Do we need to change the flow of the game? Do we need to call new and interesting and more dynamic plays? Being able to benchmark and understand that data is only going to give you a competitive advantage. And I think a lot of organizations are not doing enough of that. And I'll give you one more that I think organizations care about, think about, respect. And there's a lot of policies that are now within legislation that are now trying to make these things an objective, not a nice to have, but a must have inside the organization, but not enough organizations are doing it, is how to measure and making sure you do have fair compensation. That would probably be the third one that I leave off today, that I end with today, right? You as an organization, you have to understand, what do you need to do to make sure that you're paying your people at the top percentile of the industry, at the top percentile of the market, right? What's the market ratio? How competitive is the salary compared to the labor market? What is the compensation ratio? Where does the salary sit within the salary ranges, right? How are organizations, speaking about your organization, how are organizations thinking about their product rollout and their product, pricing and structure to be able to pay their people more? I know of certain organizations right now that have increased their pricing of a burger, of a sports band, of a hat, of their apparel line by 40%, by 20%, by 18%, just so they can put more money into their staff, just so they can put more money into the people that are actually making the product, making the whole thing work, right? So they can pay them. And I know that might be shocking to you, but that is a true statement. There are organizations out here that are literally changing their pricing model, literally rolling out new product offerings and new product lines to have more diversity to be able to increase those margins so they can give that margin, give that additional revenue to their people so they can recruit higher talent, so they can sustain and keep or retain the talent that they do have that deserve it, so they can create more healthy minds. Because imagine this. Imagine you have someone that's at the top of the chain from a skill set and strategic perspective that also does not have to have the threat response or the worry or the stress of how they're going to pay their bills or how they're going to support their children, because they're being paid at the top of the industry. They're being paid at the top of the chain. Imagine that. And imagine if you as an organization can just make a few adjustments and tweaks on your cash flow, on how you are dividending out money to certain folks on your board or your investors, or how you can roll out new products to be able to have a bit more diversity, a bit more cash flow, a bit more margin, whatever the case is going to be. Doing this is the best thing you can do. Because when you do this, and if you do this, I promise you, it creates sustainability, it creates retention, it allows you to, when you go and do that market ratio to figure out how competitive your salary is compared to the labor market, when you don't do that competitive analysis or that compensation ratio analysis to see where your salary fits in from a salary range perspective, per role, per department, per level, right? From your typical administrative role all the way up to your VP and C-suite. When you go and do that, I guarantee you will have a smile on your face. because not a lot of companies are doing it that way. So that's like a nuanced out of the box tip that I do recommend. Don't be afraid to change some things up. Product offering, product pricing, diversifying things, changing around margins and structures, figuring out ways to not give as much or put as much back into, and this may be a bold statement, but investors, savings, et cetera. Like, it's important to do that. Because if you do that, if you can have the confidence, the honesty, the perseverance, the vulnerability, the empathy to do that, it'll not only provide a substantial impact and positive sentiment and trust and respect for your that the employees will have for you and the organization, but I promise you it will provide dividends long term for your customers, for your product, and for where your brand will be positioned. And so this and many more areas is which I think a lot of organizations should be measuring, should be understanding, should be diagnosing, should be breaking down. And I just don't think they are. And so as it pertains to HR metrics, as it pertains to measuring what can happen, what can be changed, what can be adjusted, those are three things that I think a lot of organizations should think about. And there's so many more. And so maybe I roll out a part two of this because I've only outlined three today, but I got to get back to work, got to get back to the grind. But just wanted to put this out here this morning, wanted to give you a little bit of value, a little bit of motivation, and a bit more clarity around how tracking certain HR metrics can actually have a benefit on the culture, the benefit on retention, a benefit on just organizational sustainability, and a benefit on overall where your brand will be positioned long term. So as always, just a few thoughts, just a few perspectives. We'll talk soon.